Hi, welcome to the 41st episode of the Art of Advisory Show. My name is Kirk Bowman from the Art of Value. I'm joined by my co-host Hector Garcia from Quick Bookkeeping and Accounting. I just want to mention at the top of the show that this episode is brought to you by altaccountant.com, altaccountant.com. This is a new high-end hands-on workshop taught by Hector and myself for accountants and bookkeepers who are tired of talking and are ready to start doing. Hector, how are you?
Tired of talking and ready to start doing. So the challenges that most of us have is we get a new idea on how to go about getting some new business model implemented, how to change our pricing model, how to change our business model, how to get new clients, how to market, all of that stuff. And then the idea itself stays in idea mode, because when it comes time to implement it, unless somebody walks you through it and you go through an actual process, people don't feel that they completely learn it. So what Kirk and I have designed and what we think we're going to achieve is we're going to go through three transformational pillars of what we call the alternative accounting practice. And we have Jessica here trying to sneak out without being shown. This is my first time broadcasting from my classroom. This is our classroom where we teach QuickBooks accounting and taxes to people in Miami. So check it out. So our program, the Alt Accountant, that we have put together is it's going to be exercise based. So we're going to do six projects, and every single person is going to do a project on their own. But the project is going to teach a higher truth or a higher purpose, which is, what are the tools that you need to implement and put in place now to redesign your business model into a business model that works best for you, that is profitable, that you feel goes in line with your values. And these three pillars are positioning, pricing, and innovation. There are many pillars, by the way, in the world of business and accounting. But we Kirk and I said, let's keep it to three. What are the three most important things that if you transform, you're going to see immediate results? So you want to tell us real quick why those three in the 1 minute Reader's Digest version?
Well, I think it boils down to the fact the first pillar that any successful practice is going to be based on is a well-defined position in the marketplace, a position that makes you unique, that makes you stand out, that causes customers to reach out to you and want to do business with you. So that's position one. Once that pillar is set up, then you need to set up the second pillar of pricing, which is how do you determine what the customer really needs, how they value it, and then give them not just one, but ideally three choices with separate prices for each to engage with you. That's the pricing pillar. And if you have a strong positioning pillar and a strong pricing pillar in your business, it will feed the third pillar, which is innovation. You must continue to innovate in order to move your business forward. So those are the reasons for those three pillars, because I believe if an organization has those three legs of a tripod, they can stand up and then begin to work on other things. But without those three things, it's just going to fall over. So let's transition into our topic for today, which is positioning. So Hector, define positioning for me. What do you mean when we say positioning?
Yeah, and this is an interesting one, because positioning, it's a relative new word in the world of marketing. And to me, positioning is the real marketing strategy, because there's two marketing strategies. There is promote the hell out of your product, right? And use celebrities and be all over the place and spend tons of media, that's the traditional marketing, to get the word out there and get as many eyes and ears listening to your message. And it's a numbers game, how many will land, right? That's when you just, throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks. That's one process. And many companies do this. This is what I call the Super Bowl advertising model, right? Where I'm going to get the most amount of people to watch this, and hopefully we'll get some people to buy. The challenge with the traditional marketing models is that you have to throw so many things out there to see what sticks, and you have to have a lot of financial backing to make it work. Positioning is within the realm of marketing, but I think it's completely at the other end of the spectrum. And the best way to explain it is when my fellow accountants come to me and say, how do you find clients? I say, I don't. They find me, right? And that is just earth-shattering. When people hear that the first time, it's like, well, that easier said than done. And I said, no, it's just easier to do than say it. I mean, because the problem is you want customers to find you, you have to do the work. And there's a very specific piece of the work in positioning, which is make the decision to pick a position. And what I mean by that is the best way to illustrate it is American politics, right? The Democrats and the Republicans have done an amazing job in positioning, almost to the point that you meet anyone off the street and you say, hey, what party do you affiliate yourself with? And they say, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. You will know with 95% accurate what their position is on everything, including a Christmas song, okay? So positioning, it's about creating such a brand where people know exactly how you feel and how you will act, how you will react towards something. And when it comes to accounting specifically, positioning has to do with, this is the type of client that I get and everyone else I don't get. And that requires the courage to give up all the possibilities of giving up being a generalist, all the possibilities of taking every client, all the possibilities of turning down all these things that we call opportunities, because every client, every referral is an opportunity, but it's an opportunity to work more, not an opportunity to work better. The real
I'm going to jump in here, Hector, because
I was doing really good, man. I was on a roll.
You were on a roll and you were going to roll right through the end of the episode if I didn't interrupt you. So, your point about giving up opportunities, I think that's something I want to hone in on. And I would add another word to the discussion, giving up possible opportunities and or perceived opportunities. In other words, there's a sense that by narrowing down, by saying, I'm going to select a more refined target to hit, and I'm going to, you know, put a stake in the ground and say, this is what I stand for. And by definition, because I stand for this, I don't stand for all these other things. And even if these other things come up, I'm not going to pay attention to them. We're not saying, number one, that if an opportunity walks up to you and it's a good business opportunity and it, quote, doesn't fit your exact positioning, that you can't do the business. Okay? Nobody said that. What we are saying is that you're going to stand up and be known for something. For example, Hector, you and I have done that in the accounting world as far as like teaching other accountants. You are known as the guru for YouTube in the accounting world. I have carved out a niche for value pricing. That doesn't mean I can't help somebody with something else, but it means that is the position that I've decided to be known for. That's the expertise that I'm going to own in that space. But here's an example of, and really the reason I interrupted you is it made me think of this example. Hector just sent me a referral the other day. So something that I also do, although I don't talk about it on this show, is I have a software company. And Hector sent me a lead the other day. Now, this helps illustrate it. Basically, that this particular customer was contacted by email. They mentioned one or two buzzwords, and he sent it over to me. So I responded to the email, asked like five questions. Probably took me 60 seconds to write the email. Customer responded right away, and the answer to one of the questions told me immediately they were not a candidate to even be talking to right now. And it's interesting. Hector and I had a little bit of exchange after that, and it kind of just got me thinking, you know, realizing, well, why was I so quick to like make a decision about that customer pursuing them based on response? It's because I knew right away it was not a fit, and I knew it was not going to be worth my time and effort. Positioning helps you to be able to do that. How do you say yes to the great opportunities? By saying no to all the mediocre opportunities. That's what we're talking about. Positioning is setting yourself up to say yes to the great opportunities.
No, that's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. So what I was alluding to when we talked about saying no, so like having the courage to say no to a lot of, and you, I think you made a better point, the perceived opportunity, is that a poorly positioned practice looks at every customer as an opportunity. And a well-positioned practice looks at the filet mignon customers as an opportunity and everyone else as a distraction. And that is just an important point to make. Now, I'm not saying that in your position strategy, you say no to everything that doesn't fall within your positioning. But what you don't want is to be inundated with leads that don't fit your practice. And you have to spend 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, to qualify them or disqualify them and end up sending them somewhere else. What we want is 100% close rate or 80% close rate. For that, you have to have people that are already going to you because you know what you stand for, because you know that you're going to work with them, because you know that you're, I don't want to say expensive, but you're priced to the quality standards they're looking for, because they know that you can solve the problem, because you know that you can innovate. And that may require, and this is where people are just going to hate this word, because that may require you to specialize and to have a niche. And specialization and niche are not the same thing. Specialization is inward focus. Is this is what I will do over and over and over and over and over again to do it better than everyone else. That's specialization. Niche is the market that you target and focus on where you communicate your specialty. And that group of people are more likely to buy from you, more likely to pay more likely to pay you faster, more likely to trust you, and more likely to close immediately versus going through this long, elongated sales process where you have to prove to them that you are the right fit for them. So when people ask me, how do you find clients? I say, I don't. They find me. They are looking for an expert on topic A. And because you're an expert in topic A, right, they search that topic A, they land on my website, on an article, on a video, on a reference that somebody else is making to my expertise in that area, and they're calling me and they're saying, they're not saying this, but they're thinking, they're like, dude, I don't want to work with anyone else. Just convince me that I can, that whatever money I'm gonna go throw your way, it's gonna provide me value. And these conversations are shorter and better than, hey, I need an accountant. That's the worst conversation you have. Hey, I Googled you and you're 10 minutes away from my house. I need a new accountant. Can you help me? Those conversations are so long because you have to explain what an accountant is. You have to understand what they want. And you have to understand, are they a good fit for me? It's a big company, small company. Do they want to pay, you know, what I charge? So a well-positioned company makes a couple of really important statements. One is there's a specific group of clients that I won't work with. And this could be, it's not necessarily an industry thing. It could be how the client works. Like, I give you an example. I am from South America. This is a very important point. I am from South America, and I am from a country where people love to meet. Like, let's meet and discuss. Like the people from my country love to meet and discuss over coffee, over dessert, over whatever. And because I am from that country, they assume that I'm going to say, sure, let's meet and discuss and talk shop. That's not how I roll. You know, like, if I don't know you, let's talk on the phone for 5 minutes, and if you're a good fit, I'm going to send you my bill and then we can meet, right? But that's the challenge that happens with positioning. If you don't have a good position, people assume that you're hungry for business and they assume that you'll do whatever to get that business. But when you're well positioned, people are like, dude, I know you're busy, but I really want to work with you because you're the only one that I think can help me. So let's just get right to it. And that's what positioning does. Positioning helps people find you. And if there's one business strategy that every one of my customers, let's say this is standard advisory work. People say, Hector, let me ask you a question. How can I make my business better? First thing I look at, how are you positioned in the market? Okay. And I'm going to give you the most common reaction the most common answer that I get that makes me just go haywire on positioning. Every time you explain something to someone, right, a suggestion or something like that, and people come back to you and say, you don't understand, my industry doesn't work like this. You don't understand, my clients don't do that. You don't understand, that's not how it works. Anytime somebody tells you that's not how it works, you are a problem. Because if you think, if you're running a business around how it works, you will always be a slave of it. Okay? A well-positioned company sets the rules. A well-positioned company determines how things work.
When you're
Let me jump in and give an example. Hector, first of all,
just congratulations. You were on a roll this morning. So there's something different about that training room that you just, you know, it gets you going. So this idea of you don't let it define you, you define it, I think it's pretty important. Look at Apple. They did not wait for somebody to tell them, a customer, hey, I want to be able to download music. They did not wait for somebody to tell them, I want to be able to buy songs for 99 cents each. I don't have to buy the whole album. In fact, everybody thought they were crazy. We're not going to continue to use CDs. We're only going to buy the songs we like. We're not going to worry about all, you know, typically there's two or three songs on an album you like and the other seven you care less about. They ignored all that. And by the way, that is, that business model has now been surpassed by the subscription music business model, because now I just pay Apple $15 a month and I can have access to any of the music that they have, which is most of it, right? I don't even have to buy albums anymore, and I can still download it, but I can move on to something else. If I find one artist I like, all of a sudden I can have access to their entire catalog. I mean, not only did Apple redefine it when they said, we're going to download music and sell songs individually, but they've been part, not solely, but part of this whole idea of let's subscribe to music. And one of the reasons now that the music industry tends to go the direction that Apple goes is because Apple became the 99, you know, the 900 pound gorilla in the music industry. You may not be able to become the 900 pound gorilla in the music industry, but you might be able to be the 900 pound gorilla in the industry of accountants who serve automobile service, independent automobile service dealers. Maybe that's an area where you specialize. You just understand cars. You understand, you know, how they, their transactions. You understand how their bookkeeping, their accounting, and their tax and all that needs to work. So there you go. You need to define it rather than it defining you. And by the way, when we talk about the alternative accountant, that is what the first pillar is going to be about. It's going to be about helping you decide what your position is and taking the initial steps to implement that position. And if you've already got a position, then we're going to have some exercises that are going to allow you to drill down further.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we just got, I think you may have seen this, Kirk, and it's a perfect example of positioning. $250 paperclip. Okay.
So, you talk about the Tiffany's paperclip.
Right. You gave it away.
Sorry, but, I didn't mean to give it away. Well, you referred to it. So
I gave it away. So in some boardroom somewhere, there were like people that get paid millions of dollars and they're thinking about the next product. And somebody said $250 paperclip. In every other context, that would be like, dude, are you smoking something? But only a company positioned like Tiffany's, you look at it and you're like, that makes sense. Like, that's not ridiculous. It's a silver, I guess, I mean, a pure silver, white gold paperclip. And I don't know in what context that would be useful, but only a company positioned like Tiffany's sets the rules. And that's
all right. I got to jump in, Hector, because I just Googled this. I was just curious. So I just Googled Tiffany paperclip. Okay. First of all, the first thing that came up was not the silver one that's $150, but the gold one that is $1,500, which was interesting. But when I click on the silver one, guess what it says? Unavailable. Click here to be notified when it is available. They've sold out of $150 silver paperclip. By the way, I would argue one of the reasons they've sold out is because they offer the 18 karat gold $1,500 paperclip. All of a sudden, the silver paperclip sounds like a bang, bang deal. And by the way, this is also part of the pricing, right? We'll talk about this idea of you want to make one thing look cheap.
Yeah, let's not bleed over into pricing because this will get really long.
Well, I'm not trying to get off, but I'm just showing how they interlink.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think we made the point. Right? We made the point. So what are some examples on how you can implement this? Like, let's say you're sold. Okay, Hector, I'm sold. I need to work on my positioning. So how do I work on my positioning? Well, first of all, you're going to have to find a heuristic on how to describe yourself in a single sentence. If you're in a party and somebody says, what do you do? And you say, I'm an accountant. You're a very poorly positioned practice, right? Exactly. But if you say something that goes, huh, whatever that is, huh, you make a living this way, you're a great position practice. Okay. And that's really the important thing. People have to say, people make a living that way. I mean, like I used to, and by the way, back, I would say like 8 years ago, when I introduced myself as a QuickBooks trainer. And that's not even like a deep, I mean, at this point, that's super broad. But when I started doing this, people are like, what do you mean? I'm a QuickBooks trainer. It's like, you make a living that way? And that's when you know you got a good positioning, because people remember that. People don't remember accountant. People don't care about that. People care about this person that does one thing that feels awkward and quirky, but to a small segment of the population means the world to them. And that's when you're well positioned, because these people will find you. These people will only want to work with you. And the best thing is, it's easy to find you, right? It's easy to find you. Because you're looking for an accountant, you're searching Google, I'm looking for an accountant, a tax preparer, a bookkeeper, you're going to get so many people in the local listing, plus everyone bidding for that top keyword, right? Trying to pay more than the next person to get that the top ranking on Google. Whereas when somebody says, accountant that does cost segmentation on dental practice acquisition, well, there's probably not that many people that find that to be an attractive business model. So they will never say, this is what I do. But the one guy that does that does 90% of them around the country and charges 10 times what the average person does. And it makes an entire living around it. So that's it. For most folks, it's just so hard to say, I don't want to give up everything else to focus on one thing. But the realization that focusing on that one thing and doing it better than everyone else helps people find you, helps you get your foot in the door. And then like Kirk said, once your foot in the door and they say, oh, can you do my tax return? You're not going to say, I'm not positioned to do so. You say, sure, this is what I do. Positioning helps people find you. It doesn't define you, but it defines people's perception of you when they're going to buy your most expensive and your most valuable product. So that's why I'm so passionate about it. So one of the exercises, or say one of the learnings that Kirk and I want to teach you on the Auto Accountant program, it's how to create that one-liner message that makes it easy for your website, for your Twitter, for your Facebook, in your business card, when you meet people, elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it. What do you do? This is what I do. And it defines who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, the type of problems that you solve, and most importantly, how much value you bring to the table, which translates itself to price and how profitable you are as a practice. People don't care if you're highly profitable as long as you bring high value and as long as you solve expensive problems. So that's what we wanted to cover today. And that was a bit of a preview on what we want to do with Alt Accountant. So Kirk, is altaccountant.com up and running already?
It is. Altaccountant.com is up and running. Of course, it will actually redirect you to a page on the Art of Value site, but that's just because that's where the e-commerce site is running. But yes, it's up. And so you can go and get more information there. I want to hit one more thing on this positioning, and I know we're about out of time, so I'll make it quick. However, when we say you need to be the go-to expert, you need to be the person that people look for in a certain area, people begin to think, well, I either have to be the very best or I have to be the only one. And I would say, no, you don't. No, you don't. You just need to be perceived as the best one for a certain group of customers. Case in point, I'm not the only person who teaches and practices value pricing in the accounting bookkeeping space. I've got several colleagues who do that. But guess what? I have a certain take on it. I have a certain approach on it. I have a certain way of solving it. And by the way, a lot of the feedback I get is how I'm different from other people who do it. Not necessarily that I'm better or worse, I'm different. And so positioning is really about being perceived as different, and that difference needs to matter. And so that's what we're going to help you do in the Alt Accountant. We're going to help you figure out your positioning, and we're going to help you take the first steps to actually define that position in the minds of your customers.
So if you want to ask me a question about the topic matter, email me, Hector@GarciaCPA.com. We'd love to answer your questions about that, and check out our program that starts at the end of January, and it runs through the beginning of March, I believe, right? So it's going to be all of February, a little bit of January, a little bit of March. It's a six-week program called OutAccountant.com, and positioning will be one of the things that we will teach, but most importantly, will be a framework that we will teach so you can develop your own positioning through a project that we're going to have you do. And it'll be like homework. It'll be like school. I mean, it'll feel like it'll be a lot of work for sure. But
well, if you don't build positioning overnight. One of the reasons we're doing this is because we keep getting asked the question over and over, how do I, how do I? And the best answer to the question, how do I, is you do. And so we're setting you up in an environment, not where we're going to bombard you with a lot of lectures and reading and videos and all that kind of stuff. We're going to set you up in a group where you're actually going to have projects that you execute. You're going to learn by doing. The other thing I want to address is some people might go, well, that's during tax time. Yes, it is. Number one, it's intentional because there is no right time to begin making positive change in your business. And number two, we actually have designed this so that you can do it during tax time. We originally thought about doing a four-week program with two projects per week. We have scaled it back to a six-week program with one project per week. So we have already taken steps to make this feasible even during tax season. Don't use tax season as an excuse. In fact, I'm going to throw up a video here pretty soon about the ball and chain of tax season.
Yeah, actually, when we were coming up with these dates, Kirk, you know, I was like, Kirk, you know, I can't do it. It's tax season. And he said, dude, you got to eat your own dog food. Like, if you're telling people to get off this whole tax season, you have to start by leading by example. And he said, you're right. I will lead by example. This will be my busiest tax season ever. And I will also do the biggest endeavor in terms of education project ever, because I want to prove to myself that I can also unchain myself from tax season. I've done it. I spent 10 years building my positioning, building my brand. I have a great pricing strategy, I believe. And we're starting to innovate, create products. It is the perfect time for me to break through tax season. And I will do it this year, finally, completely. And I believe the Alt Accountant program, as a facilitator, as an instructor of it, will help me do so. So I'll thank Kirk for pushing me to do that as well.
All right. One last thing, and then we will sign off. The artofadvisory.com website is now live. We've done about 40 episodes, and we've been relying on a Facebook page for almost a year, but now our own website is live. You can check out all the episodes there, and we are going to be posting highlights for each episode so that it will have some searchable content. So if you're looking for a specific episode on a certain topic, you'll be able to find that quicker. That's all right, great. Hector, I'll see you next week.
All right, bye, Kirk.